education meets. I mean,
Blog Talk Radio.
No, I know. I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, and Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that'll make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Hello, Nicole. I'm so glad to have you on the air tonight. You know, you're one of my favorite people in the world, and I think we have to have a little shout-out to Nicole tonight because she's one of the most competent people I've ever known. If I had to be in a foxhole, I might, you know, definitely choose Nicole as one of those people in that foxhole. And, you know, I don't know if we give her enough credit for all that she does, and she really is the backbone of this show. She's the one that really was her idea. She asked what we can do to, you know, promote Grant Me a Higher Love philosophy, and I had vaguely mentioned perhaps a radio show, and she just jumped with it. And, you know, I don't think I would have done this show had she not been willing to be here with me week in and week out, year in and year out. And we've been doing it so long that I had this little crumpled piece of paper, which I always say the little intro, and it was down to like two shreds, and I finally had to retype it into my computer because it looked like one of those things like a baby drags around, or like a blankie that's down to like, yep, you know, a half a piece. So that's how many, many years we've been doing it. And it's two books later, we're still here.
Yeah.
You know, the
right?
Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships didn't exist. Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic didn't exist. So we've really been going here a very long time. And, you know, is there anything that someone asked me, what keeps Nicole doing this show year after year? And I said, I don't know. Why don't we just ask her, you know, what keeps you doing this year after year?
I love you.
Okay. And that's a
I
good,
love you.
And I think that's what keeps our listeners. That, you know, we have so many regular listeners. I think they want the love, they share the love, and it's actually made us have a little community of people. Like, I don't think we would have known Jill as well. We wouldn't have known Karen or Andrew, you know, as well, had we not done the show all the time, right? There'd be people we just wouldn't have gotten to know, and so we're like a little bit of a family, I think, here, and that's what it feels like. And COVID made us all bond closer because if you remember in the beginning of COVID, we had so many listeners, it was
astronomical.
Okay. They just, you know, they wanted to hear, like, are we still alive? Is everybody still here? So it was a little bit of a lifeline during that.
Well,
and,
I think that COVID too, I mean, I think that we were reassuring to people during COVID because everything was just so up in the air and nobody knew what the hell was going on. And, you know, a 2-week shutdown turned into 4, turned into 6, turned into, you know, 2 years. And I think that just our consistency through all of that kind of kept people from pulling their hair out a little bit, at least on Thursdays.
Right. And we just felt like we all got together a little bit to talk, how everyone's doing. People would call in and let us know they had COVID and, you know, we would be, you know, there supporting them. And, you know, Jean Steele would bring the little huggy bears when we had it, you know, her little huggy.
Yeah.
So
my huggy bears over my bed.
Me too. And Spirit just told me, you need to hug that bear a little bit, okay? Hug that bear a little more.
Okay,
because that will give you a lot of love. Now I can see that TJ, who is sailing today, might want to say something, and he never talks very long, so I'm not sure what he might have to say. So maybe we'll pick up and see what's on TJ's mind right now.
Alrighty then. And while you're doing that, Cindy, just let me just remind our listeners that if you do want to speak to Cindy or myself tonight, please press the number 1. This way I get that lovely little alert that tells me that you want your call picked up. As always, I will jump into the chat room. Cindy is definitely our brand of crazy, otherwise you wouldn't have married him. So he's going to be the first caller. For anybody else, please press the number 1. And when I pull you into the chat room, please know that I'm going to identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. So when you hear those last 4 digits, please answer me so that I can see who you are. All right? So here we go, out to TJ. Hello, TJ, you're on the air.
Oh, hello, Nicole. How are you? Cindy?
We're good. Everybody's good here. So how was the sale? Was it beautiful today?
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful. But the reason I'm calling is that when we saw that show last night, that line, if not now, then when? I think that should be your theme tonight for your show.
Okay. Yes. In other words, if there's something you want to be doing, something you want to be accomplishing, you know, something you've got in the drawer that you've just not pulled out to the world to see, it's a good time to do it. And that's what TJ had told me with my Beethoven play, if not now, when? And it was really his idea that got me to do that particular play. So if there's somebody who needs to do something, let's do it now, you know.
And that goes for, like, making that connection when you think, you know, you like someone but you're not sure. And I mean, you know what? It's time to step up to the plate and act.
Take a little calculated risk. Take a little risk, you know. Get out of the comfort zone. And I think that's really important information because
if not now, when?
Right. And people have been kind of, you know, now we're opening up the world again through COVID, and a lot of things that people want to do, it's a time to do it. So, you know, if any of our listeners are, you know, wondering if that resonates with them, you could certainly, you know, tell us and let us know if that resonates with you. Do it now, you know.
You know what? You know, don't, because there's only so much time in a lifetime, and if you keep putting something off, eventually it never happens. Now, do you have people ready to go? Am I done? Am I dime up here or what?
Yeah, I think she's probably, Nicole's probably been screening someone, and we'll go forward with that person. But anyway, that was a very good suggestion, and that could be our theme for the week. You know, if there's something you've been meaning to do, and it could even be something like,
I think it should be the theme for the rest of your life.
Right, of course. And, you know, even health-wise, if there's something you need to be doing for your health, why don't we do it now and not wait till, like, it's too late to do it? So,
But I think you mischaracterized something, because when I said, if not, that wasn't just Beethoven. Since I said that to you, you have literally written, 10, 11 short plays, long plays? You got back into your theater writing. You got the momentum going there. Because until then, the stuff was on the shelf for how many years? 16 years?
Right, something like that. So, you know, it was funny when Jeb reviewed the Beethoven play. He said, what a shame this play has been in the vault for 20 years. Okay? It should have been out sooner. So that was a nice comment on his, his review for me. Yeah, and, you know, I was going to say that.
Okay, listen, I've taken 8 whole minutes up here. It's time for the real listeners. You know I love you, and you know why I love you. And so good luck tonight, and I'll see you later tonight. Ciao for now.
Okie dokie. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so Nicole, you did a screening. Can you give us a little information about who and what, why, and why is she calling tonight? Are you there, sweetie? Oh, okay. Let me see. Maybe Nicole is not available. Okay, it says Kristen, New York. She called a few weeks ago. She spoke about a friend. Okay, can you fill me in here,
Cindy? I was just finishing up with Kristen. So basically, Kristen called a couple of weeks ago, and in a nutshell, She was, you know, she had a very good friend of hers. And, you know, some of our listeners may remember this. They crossed the line. They went out of the friend zone and they went into the intimacy zone. And then he ghosted her. So Kristen had called in initially to talk about that ghosting. And of course, you know, you told Kristen that she needs to take 2 feet out. So she stopped contacting him. And guess what? He came around, but not in the way that people might think. So I'm going to let Kristen tell you the rest. And here we go out to Kristen in New York. Hello, Kristen. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Kristen. Okay, so it's so nice to hear from you again. So tell us what happened, because this is a continuing saga here.
It is. So I stopped contacting him and pretty much was like, all right, I'm probably not going to hear from him, like, maybe until next year, because that's kind of how he is. But I heard from him pretty much the day before Halloween, and I was so surprised that I did, that I didn't even respond to him until, like, Monday. And the conversation was so bland. It was just like, hi, how are you? Good, how are you? I'm working. That's cool. And I did not know what to say. I honestly wanted to rip him a new asshole, but I just didn't know what to say.
Well, funny that the man who ghosted you, you know, reappears, you know, the day before Halloween. Like, the ghost comes back. You know,
oh,
you got to laugh at that.
Oh, okay. My gosh. I didn't think of that.
the timing is like a riot, okay? What he did was he wanted to see if he still got you, and I'm glad that you didn't respond in such a way that he thinks, you know, you couldn't wait for him to call, okay? He was small talking, hoping that you would maybe, you know, open up a little bit, come see me or whatever you might have said to him. But I'm glad you didn't do that, because it would have just shown he would have come, maybe been with you, and then pulled this ghosting again, okay?
Yeah, no.
He was waiting for you to bring it to a more intimate level, and you couldn't do that. I mean, if he couldn't come, he owes you an apology, first of all.
Right.
And secondly, you know, we also have to start calling these people on things. It's like funny how nobody says, like, well, where were you? Like, what was this ghosting? Like, what happened? You know, and I think you're so hurt by him, you didn't even want to go there. But the cards on him aren't good. He doesn't look like he's very happy, okay? And,
yeah,
you know, he's been distracting to keep from wanting to speak to you. You know, when many times he had wanted to call you and he didn't. But at this point, how did you leave it at the end of the phone call conversation? Was it he'll speak, call you again, or, you know, how did it end?
Well, it was via text. So, I mean, it was, hi, how are you? Good, how are you? He says that he's working. And the last time we left off, he was going to tell me that he got this job. And I was going to be like, yay, good for you. I was there for him, like, throughout the whole process, and I was cheering him on. I was his little cheerleader, and then all of a sudden, he doesn't tell me shit, and then he's like, oh, yeah, I got the job. I'm like, I figured, good for you, and that's it. He said, thank you, and I didn't say anything.
Wow, and again, this texting thing is a little ridiculous, too, because it's a little impersonal, and he doesn't want to hear your voice, because if he hears your voice, he's going to... It registers the DNA, the connection between the two of you. But he was hoping that you would say, come on over or want to do something. Okay?
Yeah.
You didn't give him that, and I'm glad you didn't. Because if he wants to see you, he should be suggesting it. He also owes you an apology for disappearing. Okay?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That's not an apology. And this is the thing that's such a common response, you know, around the 3 month mark of disappearing or 2 months, they come back with a little casual text as if nothing's happened. Like, what?
Yes, I don't even know what to say, Cindy.
I mean, people act like love's a mystery. Anyone who's been listening to this show for as long as we've been doing it, you hear the same crap over and over again, and the same 3 month mark, disappearing, coming back, running away. It's like clockwork. And these people think they're a mystery. They're not a mystery. It's like genetically programmed in us, these behavior patterns. But he really thought that you were going to, like, invite him over or something. And you couldn't do that.
Why doesn't he think about the part where he totally screwed me over. I don't understand.
Because they think if they disappear for 2 months, what, are you going to forget about that you got screwed over?
What the fuck? Like, what?
And again, this is something, anyone listening, if someone ghosts you, whether it's even a business relationship where they're supposed to get back to you and they don't, you have to say, excuse me, like, what happened to the last 2 months? Like, can you explain to me what that was about? We have to start calling people on these behaviors of ghosting. They are really not acceptable behaviors. Okay. They're very hurtful. They're very mixed messages. You know what happened. And I think you were a little stunned that he, you know, contacted you. And the way it was going, I think he hit you on a day where you were like, I can't do this. This is like, this is just not sitting well with me.
Yeah.
And again, I'm glad you didn't, you know, say, oh, it's so great to hear from you, blah, blah. No, we can't act like that. We, you know, don't just ghost and come back. Now,
right.
It doesn't look like, you know, this is over. He'll probably do it again in another month or two. But at that point, you know, I think you're going to have to say, look, this doesn't work for me. I mean, it's painful. And it's not that he doesn't care about you, because I'm not seeing that here at all in the cards, okay? He cares about you. He also wanted to see if you had somebody else. Now, are you vocal on social media? Can he see what you're doing, or are you more private about it?
No, I'm very private about things.
Good. That's why he couldn't. Sometimes, you know, people are, if you're all on social media, people will know you're not in a relationship. They know what you're doing. So I'm glad you're, you know, so he had to kind of contact you. He wanted to, you know, kind of know, are you with someone? What's happening in your life? And you really didn't give him any information, and you didn't owe him any explanation or any information as to what you're doing. And, you know, the thing about texting is kind of impersonal. You know, it's and things get lost in translation. I mean, you're going to be granted another soulmate if this guy doesn't kind of step up to the plate sooner than later. Are you still keeping the door open for him, or are you up for someone else coming your way now?
No, I mean, pretty much like as soon as I realized what was going on, I shut the door. I knew I can disconnect so easily that I just moved on, and I'm like, I'm ready for that person. You, I've spoken to you throughout this year, and, you know, you keep telling me I'm going to find my soulmate and I got to get out there, and I haven't been getting out there as much as I probably should, and I mean, I work at a catering company, so there's just parties going on, new people coming in. I try to be, you know, friendly with everybody and try my best that way. And it just seems like, I don't know.
Well, again, this, the universe is kind of waiting for you to close the door. Are you ready to close the door on him? Or
absolutely,
do you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because, I mean, I think that is funny because he doesn't even know why he contacted you. His spirit guides are saying to him, you better contact her if you want any chance at all in this relationship. And because he didn't say what you needed to say, it made it easier for you to close the door now. Okay,
yeah.
Remember, any relationships not serving our higher good, whether it's business, personal, family, are going to start ending by the time 2023 begins. We're trying to end these things sooner than later. And because it's not healthy, it's not good. You know, he won't be granted another soulmate because he's the one responsible for the ending of this relationship, not you. And, you know, this thing with people and their commitment and their fear, and, you know, I've said it a lot before on the show, when someone can ghost you for a period of time, they have to be a narcissist. You couldn't do that to someone. Could you just ghost somebody? Could you do that to somebody?
No. I don't get it. I don't understand.
And
if he
25
was,
years,
he'd care.
Right. And it's 25 years of doing this, I have found the people who can ghost are narcissistic people. Okay? Mm. Even companies, when they ghost people, people go on 5 interviews, and they don't even send a text or an email saying you didn't get the job. And then the person has to call back in 2 weeks. Like, you know, the person went on 5 interviews. It wouldn't kill you to shoot an email, you know, saying, I'm sorry, but it's not right. It's like really, it's something that happens, you know, in America, it's across the board that people, like, what have you done for me lately? Like, they don't need you. They hired somebody else. You know what I mean? So we're not even going to bother wasting a minute to text you or email you, and it's not right. So this is a phenomenon I'm never happy about, okay? It's really hurtful. And it's funny because my college boyfriend was a person that would just disappear, okay? And I'm not the kind of personality that can deal with that. And I wouldn't know where he was. He'd be like, I don't know if he's dead or alive, okay?
Oh,
and finally, it was the reason why I broke up with him. And about a year later, I ran into his best, no, 5 years later, I ran into his best friend. And he said, you know, you really broke his heart. And I said, no. This man used to just disappear on me for a month. I didn't know where he was. I didn't know if he's dead or alive. I couldn't deal with it. And then he said, oh, my God, I went to dinner with him last week. And his girlfriend was crying because he had done that to him. 5 years later, he's still doing this. Now,
funny
part about it is he contacted me last year, and you know, 2 years ago after my brother died, and he said, oh, let's have a conversation. Let's talk, okay? And I said, okay. And he ghosted me.
Oh, my God.
And this is 40 years later.
Wow.
Almost 50, actually, okay? That's how old I am. It's almost closer to 50 years later. So what I'm trying to say to you is this can go on for 50 years, these people that ghost. So that's
I can see him doing that.
And could you imagine? He says, let's talk. And then, you know, it's like three times he said, oh, like, well, this and whatever. And I didn't even want to talk to him, really, you know, at all. I could care less that he did that again. But the point is, it's probably why I'm so hypersensitive to this phenomenon, because it happened to me all that those years ago.
Right,
and it finally made it so I couldn't deal with that. I just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people can deal with it. If you're the kind of personality that you don't mind the person disappears for a month and then you just go do what you want to do for a month till they return, if you're that kind of person, it's fine. But I wasn't. Okay?
Yeah.
And it was really upsetting to me. So I see him probably resurfacing again. It'll probably be maybe sometime around Christmas time.
Yeah,
that'll be
probably wish me Merry Christmas or something.
Right. And you're going to kind of, you know, maybe at that point have to say, really, this isn't working for me. Please don't contact me. Like,
will I be dating someone at that point, maybe?
It looks to me like, let's get you out and out and about before then. And I like the way you said, you know, you try to meet people. I don't think you met anyone just yet, because this was a strong soulmate connection and they wanted to see what he does. They have to give someone like a solid 3 months from when they kind of pull away to see what they're doing before they bring another soulmate into alignment. And we're getting about to the moment where the universe is ready to bring you one, okay?
All right.
And you didn't do anything wrong, by the way, okay? If he didn't care about you so much, he probably would have stuck around and had some fun with you for the next couple of months and then ended it. When a person goes, it's usually because their feelings are very strong and they can't deal with those feelings, okay? Mm. People don't ghost you when they don't really like you very much. They tell you, I'm sorry, it's not working. I mean, they just say it.
Yeah, that's
not
true,
working.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But now it's become, so, you know, like that's everybody's response to when I have a higher love and I'm scared, I'm going to run away and ghost you. So, you know, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you let us know, because I kind of knew he was going to resurface, but I just find it very funny. And it's, there's all these terms in the dating world, okay? Ghosting, haunted house means you go to a party or an event where you see someone who's ghosted you, okay?
Oh, wow.
And like breadcrumbing, he sends me a text to see if he still got me, okay?
Oh, my
and
God.
My translation of all of these dating terms is he or she's a dick, okay? Like, I don't care what these terms mean. To me, they mean you're a dick, okay?
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
But imagine going to a party and they say, well, you see one or more people who's ghosted you. How funny is that?
God. That sounds like a haunted house. That's perfect. Oh, my God.
So, at least if nothing else, I hope you got a little laugh about it. And Spirit is not happy about what he did at all, okay?
Yeah.
Not one bit happy about it. So, you know, call in again. Let us know when he resurfaces. Also, more than that, let us know when God brings you a soulmate, or, you know, and I think you have to write down what you're looking for. Have you thought about that? and written it down?
Oh, yeah. He gave me that assignment earlier this year. I took care of it. I check over it, and I read it, and I update it here and there. So I'm patient and trying. I'm hoping soon.
Okay. And again, I do see it happening for you. They did give him this last little, you know, hurrah to see what he would do about it. But I got the card that's called the Eight of Cups, and that's a person who walks away from love, turns their back on love. Okay. And, you know, when someone does this, they can do it for a long time. Okay. And, you know, it may never change. And, you know, too many people put up with this behavior for way too long. And it ends up, you know, depriving women of motherhood if they want to be a mother. It makes someone, you know, pine for someone and, you know, miss them and, you know, break their heart. So, you know, if I were you, I would just put your best foot forward and be a great invitation to love. Be, you know, open with the people you're meeting. Because you're still giving off a little vibration that you're taken or you want someone else. It's like a little bit of vibration coming from you.
Really?
So,
okay. Yeah, you said that. Okay. All right. I have to work on that then.
You have to work on that. You're available. Okay.
Yeah. I don't really know how to do it without wearing a sign.
Yeah, well, the best way to explain this is, like, you know, when you're in a long-term relationship, people stop hitting on you because you instinctively, if a person doesn't want to be hit on, give off a vibration that you're not available, okay? And even after someone, you know, my clients who have, you know, lost their soulmates through death, I have to tell them you're still giving off a vibration that you're in a long-term relationship. Like, you weren't long that you instinctively do that. And you know what I'm talking about. Like, you'll wonder, why aren't people hitting on me? Well, because you're not giving off that vibration. Other people tell me, people are always hitting on me. I'm like, well, you must be giving off that vibration.
Yeah, because I never understood that. Nobody ever hits on me, or I've never been asked for my number, and I feel like that's just how I've always been. So that may be a challenge for me to work on. But also, it's hard because of my age. I'm a little older, and it's hard to tell who's available or not either.
Okay, so
not to make eye contact.
This is a problem with a lot of people, but what I would basically do is start a conversation. If you're out in a bar with your friends and a guy's kind of looking over you a little bit and you're all with your girlfriends, no guy's going to permeate that pack. But you go over to him and you say something like, there's too much estrogen over there. Can I just stand here for a minute? And he'll probably laugh. And then, you know, you open the conversation. Are you married? You have a girlfriend? And people have to start asking these questions. And when you ask someone and they say, yes, I'm married, all the good ones are taken. You kind of compliment the person. They feel good about themselves, but you've got that piece of information right out in the open. Okay.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
I mean, people have to start, you know, asking the questions. I mean, if you and I sat on a bus and you met me on a bus, you would probably within 2 minutes say, are you married? Do you have kids? It's a natural conversation. Why is it when we like somebody, we don't have a natural conversation asking a natural question?
I don't know what to say usually. I turn red. There's so many things, but I have a lot to work on, and I'm learning that. So,
okay,
thank you.
I think you're a tad bit shy, and shyness is actually an energy of fear of rejection, fear of judgment.
Yes.
And sometimes it can scare off people because they can sometimes think you're either a snob or your energy of being afraid makes them afraid. So working on your people skills, and I would say start with talking to people that you're not interested in sexually or having a connection. You know, talk to someone who's elderly, talk to children, talk to someone that you're clearly not interested in, but being more comfortable with just talking to people.
Okay.
Open that up. Just be like, that's why I said, be an invitation to love. Smile at someone. Talk with someone. Okay.
Right.
And, you know, and don't do it just to people you're interested in, and do it with everyone. And, you know, this way, I try going about my day to have a soulful connection with every single person that I encounter. Even if it's only a minute, if it is the mailman, if it's someone in a store, I always try to connect to their heart or soul in a very, you know, very quick way. And it's a skill that you can work at or obtain. Okay. And
I love that. Yeah.
And I remember doing a dating workshop, and people saying, we can never meet anybody. I go, okay, that's it. We're going over to the 7-Eleven across the street, and you're going to watch something. And I literally talked to every person in the 7-Eleven. Everyone was laughing. I was like, they go, I can't believe all those people talked to you. I said, because I was funny. I talked to them. I just started a conversation. You can talk to anyone if you – and, of course, the people who don't want to talk to you, you'll know pretty quickly. That's fine, too. But
right.
Shyness is a fear of rejection, and maybe you're just afraid that someone isn't going to like you. We have to get over that, too, okay?
Yeah.
Don't take it all so personally. You know, maybe the person's uptight or whatever. But tell us what happens as maybe call in a month or so and let us know if you've been working on your people skill, talking to
Absolutely.
People, feeling comfortable.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thank you so much,
Well, good
Cindy.
Luck to you. Bye.
I'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye. Well, we don't have anyone pressing one, so.
We don't.
Now, Nicole, did you understand what we're talking about, just talking with people, just opening
yeah,
up a conversation?
Absolutely.
You know, and not being afraid to talk. You know, I probably learned that skill from my father, the son of a bitch that he was, but, you know, he also had a very charismatic, charming side, okay? And he could
yeah.
talk to anybody. So I kind of learned that. So I have to give him the plus for that, that I was never just afraid to talk to people at all.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty good about that too, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I could talk to anybody. I could talk to anybody. I mean, even when I was a kid, my mom used to laugh because, you know, there would be a bunch of kids playing, but I would find the oldest man in the room and I would talk to him instead.
I know. I used to be a little kid and go down the block talking to all the neighbors. Like, we knew all our neighbors.
Oh, man.
Like, they'd be maybe gardening, and I'd be like, oh, you need help? And I'd be talking to them. And help.
Oh.
Like, even if they didn't want me, I'm there helping.
I actually have something like that too, Cindy. My mom was doing, I forgot what was happening or whatever, but I was little. I mean, I was maybe 3 or 4. And, you know, we were in the house, and my mom always kept the screen door locked. And somehow, I don't know how I did it, but somehow I pushed the kitchen chair over to the door so I could stand on it and unlock the door. And I walked out of the house, and my mother found me around the corner sitting at the bus stop talking to an old man waiting for the bus. So here she is. She locked up the house like Fort Knox, but this 4-year-old was able to get the door open. So.
I did that in kindergarten. No, my brothers were all in school, and I'm only 4. And I really wanted to go to kindergarten. I wanted to go to school. So I just left the house and walked to the school. I knew where it was. You know, it was like a couple
mm-hmm.
blocks away. And I'm sitting in the kindergarten classroom with my brother. And, you know, of course, my brother has to come pick me up. You know,
that's funny.
So I was like, no, I belong in school. So, you
like,
know,
I insist.
I belong in school. I'm going to stay home by myself, you know, and, you know, it was just funny because I was not used to being the only child in the house. I thrilled to brothers. Why am I in my house by myself? You know, with anybody to play with or whatever. But
listen, I feel you.
Work on our people skills. I have a client that's so funny. She's from down south. She goes, I talk to everybody. I talk to trees. Okay, so.
That's great.
So let's see. We have Karen pressed, and so did Eric. So let's go to Karen first.
Yeah.
8555. And
yes, ma'am.
What Karen might want to have to say today.
All right. Hello, Karen. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, Karen. How's school going, teacher?
Oh, good, good. Everything's good. I still like my new classroom. Everything's good.
Great. And so how was Halloween?
Nice and quiet. Nothing too crazy over here. It wasn't bad. It was easy. I want to tell you in the beginning of the show, one thing I think that everyone likes listening to the show every week, the community, like, just is so small. Like, there's not always a lot of people that, like, you know, believe in the spirits or, you know, think about the other side. So I think we find it so calming and peaceful to listen to you guys every week because it's not like you could always, like, talk to everybody about this.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right. And also, and I think people are really hungry for, like, how do we commune and how do other people and what does the other side have to say about things? And, you know, that's a connection that's very strong. And also just listening to a show like this, or just the universe hears you that you want to know about this stuff. And then they're more open to guiding you along that path. And, you know, it's, and that's also like little ways that you can talk to your own spirit guides. Now, you've been getting readings a long time. Do you find that you're opening it up a little bit? Do you ever get any messages from your brother or your father pretty clearly now?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely do. And I'm meditating more, and especially through dreams. I'll get, you know, every couple of weeks I'll get a good dream and a message, and I know to, like, to act on it, especially when I get a dream. Because I wanted to share with you, my mom, we're trying to fix her apartment up. She's renting her apartment to my brother, my other brother, and I need some messages from him. So I woke up with a message the other morning to get over there. The last couple of months I've been over there cleaning it out, doing stuff there. We have contractors, an electrician. So I got a message in my dream this week from definitely my brother or my father. You know, it's garbage night this weekend. Get over there and do another, you know, go back to the apartment and work on the kitchen. So, like,
wow.
I can only do so much because I'm only, you know, I'm working full time. But, and that's what I finally said to my brother. My mom wants to handle him. She doesn't want me to fight with him because, especially after losing one brother, I don't want to fight with another brother. You know, like, I definitely don't. And I'm trying to be patient with him. But I finally did say to him, just say, you know, I was lost all summer. I would have helped you. I would have cleaned the apartment. I would have packed you up. I would have done whatever you wanted. He hasn't lived there in months. And he's not calling my mother, telling her this.
Wow.
And it's not fair. She's not paying rent. He's not. It's just very unfair, and it's very selfish of him. Him knowing,
well,
I'm the only one around to do it.
Well, that's what your dad just said. You know, it's a shame. Okay? It's a shame.
Yeah.
And, you know, old souls, we're the donkey people. So everybody knows we're going to eventually do the work. Okay? They wait long enough. We'll do it. Okay, it's just the way things are. You know, your father's a little disappointed in that brother. Okay.
Yes.
Right now. Okay, and you know, I know you don't want to stress out your mom about things, but you know, he would like to see this over sooner than later, the situation.
Yeah. She's supposedly going to talk to him. We have a 50th birthday dinner for him this week. Then she's going to talk to him after the dinner.
Okay, that's good. You have to have the talk, okay? And that's, again, you know, what we stress on this show is stop stuffing down anger, have the conversation, you know, talk about the elephant in the room, the stuff that nobody wants to talk about, okay? You know, get it out there, but do it with righteous anger, just the facts. We love you, but ABCD, okay?
Right, and but one of the problems is he's running from these conversations. My mother's tried to have it a couple of times. I've tried to have it a couple times. He runs from it.
Okay, that's what we call manipulation. Okay?
Yeah.
He's you know, controlling the narrative by that. You know, sometimes people will scream and have a temper tantrum. Sometimes they just will, like, not answer us. You have to kind of maybe do a sort of an intervention. You know, a couple of people there having this discussion, and he has to listen, and that, you know, running away isn't going to work anymore. That's a manipulation on his part, okay? And, again, no one wants to think about that as being manipulation, but it certainly is manipulation, you know, heavy-duty manipulation.
No, it's bad. It's horrible.
For sure. Well, anyway, let's see if we can hear what Eric might have to say tonight.
Okay.
And thanks for sharing that a little bit with us, but your dad heard what you said. He said, I will help, but you're going to have to kind of corner your brother. How he described
it. Yeah, I know.
I know.
So
it's
much.
Like we hate this. We hate this. And remember, we're people pleasers, and people aren't going to like us when we talk about this stuff, you know? But sometimes it just has to be talked about.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's see what Eric has to say.
Okay, Cindy.
He's a 6511.
Yep, I got him.
And maybe
hello, Eric, you are on the air.
We do have two other people that pressed one, so maybe you could screen one of them.
Yes, ma'am.
Okie dokie. Okay, Eric, so what's happening in Eric's world today?
Hi, Cindy.
How are you doing today? How are you doing with your tarot cards? You know, you picked it up as a little hobby. How's it going with it?
They're actually in my hand right now, actually. Just shuffling. I'm trying my best when I can to learn all the cards and what they mean. And, you know, doing one card, tarot spreads, three cards. I'm just trying to get better every day at it.
Okay, and do you pull one card a day or something? How do you figure this out?
Yeah, usually I pull one card a day. I usually do it at night. Usually I struggle to fall asleep, so around 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm just there shuffling my cards. And I pull one that's attracting me right now at the moment, and I read it. And usually I use that card as to really tell me something about that day. Like earlier in the day, I use it.
Wow. So is there a particular card you seem to pick up a lot?
The one card that I've been picking up a lot lately is the one I've been telling you about, the Chariot.
Right. And, the Chariot has a couple of different meanings. It indicates a very good 5-year period opening up, but it also indicates a lot, pretty much figuring out where you want to be 5 years from now and also taking your life where you need it to go, being the master of your destiny. So, and especially with career, it's a very good card in terms of career. So I think you're really, taking your life where you want it to go.
Yeah, of course.
Do you have a question you wanted to ask?
Yeah, I know I called last week about obviously my situation with my person who's not in my life at the moment. And I know we had a conversation through text about the energies that she's emitting.
Right.
But I kind of wanted to talk more about that, if that's fine.
Okay. Well, she just has a lot of negative energy right now, and it's part of the situation that's going on. And she's normally a more positive person than she is right now. She's just not happy, and that's showing a lot in her energy. And yet, we talked about ghosting, and we talked about, with another client, she's blocked you and you can't contact her, so there's not much you can do other than just be a little bit patient still. Again, we talked about it earlier today that by 2023, if people don't start moving forward, your life's going to move forward, okay? Spirit does not want you unhappy. So, I could talk to any soul living or dead, and I'm trying to tell her soul, if you want to be with Eric in the future, you better do it sooner than later, okay? Because, once the, spirit starts to move you forward, there will be no turning back. I would say keep sending her love on the soul plane, but, when someone blocks you and makes it so you can, don't contact me, it's really hard, to move something forward. And you are respecting the boundaries that she set, but the universe isn't really happy with those boundaries.
Yeah. And the only reason why I asked that is because, I would see pictures of her, and I'm like, whoa, why did she look like that? She looks so different. There's no way that you can look so different in a small amount of time. And I was, I'm just left shocked because, I see her eyes, like the bags of her eyes, they look dark. And I'm just in awe,
Of how much she has changed. Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe her lifestyle is not healthy. She could be drinking. Who knows what's going on there? But it does not look like a healthy lifestyle, and that she's not in a good place. And, you know, that was why Spirit wanted you to see those pictures. Like, she's not a happy camper, okay? You know, when people are happy, they look happy, okay? You can see that.
Exactly.
I mean, they could lie about everything else, but it usually can show on the face.
Yeah, you
well,
know, that's
anyway.
The thing about social media as well, because, you know, not really how it is, you know? And I think, you know, that's something I learned, that whatever someone posts, it's not how their actual life is. And,
a lot of times it's not, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So don't always believe everything, you know, we see on social media. Well, anyway, I want to try to get to Patricia in Pennsylvania today. She's a first-time caller, and we always, you know, we want to get some first-time callers on the show. So
of course.
So keep me posted and let me know how it's going. And thank you for sharing your little story with us tonight.
Of course. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Nicole, this looks like an interesting person. She's never
yeah.
called in before. And
Nope. She is a first-time caller, Cindy. And Patricia wants to know and touch base with you on some past live issues. She also is interested in resolving some trauma. So she would like your take on this particular topic. So she is a first-time caller, so everybody please welcome Patricia. Hello, Patricia. You're on the air.
Thanks. Yes, hi.
Hi, Patricia. Is there a particular past life that, you know of or that you're drawn to? Because past lives usually resonate with something historically that we're drawn to. Have you had an experience with it yourself?
A little, meaning I'm, as I learn and develop more in meditation and doing various types of meditation, and what I'm visually seeing in my third eye in that meditation. But this, what I was talking about, personally what I went through in this lifetime, and I believe obviously it probably makes some sense that it's happened in past lifetimes. Sex rape trauma and money trauma. And I've been working on with the EFT tapping to releasing and clearing them out both.
Okay, interesting. And that tapping does help a lot. You know, that process helps. Also, some of it is, you know, are you in talk therapy at all? Have you been in that?
No, I've attempted that. Has not worked where I'm currently living.
I know sometimes talk therapy doesn't work with trauma always because sometimes you keep reopening the same, you know, it's like almost ripping open a scab a lot, okay? And, you know, which, and also are you working on, now has some of these people who have traumatized you, have any of them been held accountable for their actions? At all?
Well, the first two males, no, because I basically shut down when it happened the first time. It was 16, and I just didn't say anything. And basically, I was in shock, even though I was functioning, you know, mainly getting up every day and growing up physically. I just shut down and didn't say anything for years. I didn't say anything to my mother, and she's long dead, until I start talking about it. I tried to talk about it about 20 years ago, and ironically, I was going to a polarity therapist. And she must have
okay. I keep hearing other voices. Is there some reason for that, Nicole? Are you in a place where other people are talking in the background?
Oh. Yeah, there's there's something.
Oh, you know what? I left a mic on, Cindy. I'll take care of that right now.
Okay, because they're very annoying.
Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, I still hear it. It's like a little bit weird. Okay. I think it's better now. Okay, so you did try to talk about it 20 years ago.
Yes.
There's a book called The The Body Keeps the Score. I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's a really good book about how trauma, particular physical trauma, beating, sexual abuse, rape, is kept in the body. And that's why the tapping helps heal the body a little bit. But, you know, there are certain techniques, and not everything works for every person, but the book does give a lot of suggestions of how you can deal with some of those traumas and get them out of the body, okay, where the trauma is still residing in you. And, you know, past life, you know, whether these things happen in a past life or not isn't really relevant so much. I mean, sometimes people think, did I do something bad in my past life to have all this trauma? No, not usually. A lot of times it's that we've been in denial that evil exists. And part of our karmic lesson is to see that not everybody's good. Not everybody knows right from wrong. And also we're here to hold people accountable for their behaviors. It's also can simply be that you were born into dysfunction to end it. You can't keep putting, you know, screwed up people into screwed up family places. It just keeps duplicating itself, this behavior. You were put into a situation because you would end it. You're not a person who continues these behaviors. So a lot of times it's good people that are put in these traumas, that are in these horrible experiences. It's not that anyone's done anything bad. And, you know, with you, it's working on some forgiveness, particularly of the good people that didn't protect you. Maybe that could be your mom. You know, maybe she should have protected you more from what happened. And it's not that you don't love her, but sometimes, you know, we need these people to protect us. And forgiving people, but not their actions, helps set us free. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, to forgive meant to untie victim consciousness, to let go. And it doesn't mean reconciliation. It just means we forgive people and not their actions. And that could set some of the trauma outside of our body. Have you tried to forgive some of these people?
Verbally, because probably a couple of them I hope are dead, but I think they might be. Because there are two brothers of my best friend in high school, when I was in high school, and she's been dead for a good 30-some-odd years. But they were
I'm not surprised. It probably traumatized her, too. Okay.
I don't think she knew, because she was dealing with her own medical crisis. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she ultimately died from the effects of that.
And cancer has a lot of elements of stuffed down anger and things, you know, that happen. I think these two brothers are just, you know, not very good human beings.
They weren't.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did something to her, by the way. You know, they just seem like they're really awful people. You know, part of it is you saw the dark side of the world, okay? And sadly, I wish to say this was a rare occurrence. It's not, okay? Sadly, not. And again, rather than think like, you know, did I do something or in a past life, this is pretty much you're learning what the world is made of. And I hope it's made you more protective of people you love and a little more heads up that not everybody's good. You know what I mean? And that not everybody has good intentions.
I definitely understand that.
I mean, it's sad. It's sad, you know, that we have to know this. But, you know, people don't know pedophiles exist or rapists exist or terrible. That's how they put themselves in a capacity to be hurt. And, you know, what I see with you is a better, like 2023 being a better year for you. You might want to get hold of the book, The Body Keeps the Score, and anyone listening, if you've been traumatized in some ways, you know, it's very helpful. It's written by a psychiatrist, and interesting enough, the most fascinating part I found about it is, you know, he's fairly older, so when he started practicing, I think it was in the 60s or something like that, 1960s, the textbooks in psychology said that only 100 people in the United States were sexually abused a year. 100, okay? And meanwhile, there was like 200 million people at the time, okay? And then he's practicing for about a minute, and he's got like 60 people landing in his place. Like, what has he got? Everybody that was ever hurt, you know, sexually abused coming to his practice? Like, that's how crazy this issue, like, people just were in denial. And the textbooks were saying, oh, it's not really so horrible. It's not bad. Like, what they taught psychiatrists in those days was horrible. Okay, and, you know, so the history of this has been going on forever. And, you know, with you, I'm hoping that, you know, you allow spirit to heal you and let that happen. But recognizing, like, stuffing down anger is not good. I mean, you have a right to be angry about this. And expressing it in healthy ways is what we need to do. And have you worked on expressing your anger in healthy ways?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Yes, I have been releasing a whole lot of anger within the last 5 years because I've gotten a medical diagnosis that woke me up. I just didn't realize how angry I was because I was keeping it inside. But after that diagnosis, I've been releasing that and just putting myself first. I was putting my mother and church and all this before me and jobs, and of course no one cared or loved me. So it's like, okay, I couldn't keep myself first. I'm my only priority right now. And yes, doing the EFT, tapping and forgiving and releasing myself and others has helped a great deal.
And it will continue to do that. And, you know, sexually abused people have high rates of really weird diseases, cancers, rare cancers, suicides, drug addiction, autoimmune disorders. They get the weirdest diseases because most disease is stress and anger, okay? So letting it out, writing a letter to your mom while you have a right to maybe be mad at her, writing a letter to, you know, the people that have hurt you, and releasing it. What I see is a lot of releasing taking place in you. And whatever diseases we have can either be healed. Like when Jesus healed people, he did a little bit of Reiki, but he mostly did mind-body. Who's hurt you and now you have cancer? What's made you so angry that now you have some disease? And he would heal your mind, and then the body would heal itself. So what you're doing is the mind-body healing. It is not okay it happened to you. You have a right to be angry. You know, sexually abused people have a rage. They're filled with rage. They're angry, okay? And I want you to understand that. If this happened to your daughter or someone you loved, how angry would you be if someone did? You would be furious, wouldn't you? You'd be like, you know, ready to like, you know, really lash out on that person. So anger is a valid emotion here, and yet... And sometimes depression is anger. It's anger turned inward. So we don't want to be depressed either. So working on the forgiveness issues a little bit, writing letters that, you know, you don't necessarily give people, but you get it out. And realizing that, you know, what was channeled to me from Jesus is that his mission was the molesting and beating of children and people. I mean, it's gone on forever, okay? And... you know, the world is screwed up from it. It's probably the source of all war because it makes people crazy. Older souls don't hurt people when it's been done to them. They will make themselves sick. They don't hurt others usually. But deal with the fact that this is not okay that it happened. The techniques that you're doing, you know, that you said the tapping and EMT, these are things that are proven to work. Not everything works in every person. So you try keep trying different healing venues till you find the one that really does work for you. And do us a favor and call in again and let us know how your healing is doing. You're very loved from Nicole and I here, okay? You have like a safe space to call in. And sometimes it's just getting it out. Saying the word a million times. Talk therapy was, you know, 200 years ago. All she had to do is, you know, tell a therapist, you know, pay someone to keep your secrets because you never talk to anybody about this. The therapist didn't do much to help, but just getting it out and walking out the door and saying, at least I put it somewhere, help somewhat. It's not enough anymore. People need a little bit more. And sometimes, I mean, one of the most effective treatments for trauma is just find either dancing or going in the water, going for a walk, joy therapy, living in the now, things that keep us healthy, not habits that are bad, not drinking and stuff like that, just going for a walk, bike riding, dancing, going, you know, anything that makes you feel some joy of life is joy therapy. And I think you could use a little joy therapy too.
Yes, that's what I'm doing with, you know, just really being more intentional, living in the now, and loving myself, loving and accepting myself. And yes, you know, just dancing, you know, to music, learning to play the acoustic guitar, and just really so thankful that for every day of life that
and
I wake up in joy
therapy.
You know,
that
and
is what you
living.
Need more than anything. You can't keep going back to the trauma over and over again because that is not healthy. Living in the now and, you know, stop blaming yourself and, you know, because you didn't do anything wrong, okay? And, you know, I just see a lot of healing will be taking place in the next few months and keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, thank you for sharing your story with us. And call in again and let us know. Ask Spirit to help. Your mom is, you know, going to give you a very clear sign in the next day or two that she's sorry for not protecting you more as well.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Good luck to you. We're at the end of our show. We'll all speak next week. Everyone have a great week. Thank you, Nicole, for everything you did today.
You too.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.